I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we want to revisit a topic that we've been following on this program. A handful of school chiefs, like Washington, D.C. School Chancellor Michelle Rhee, are experimenting with the use of cash incentives to motivate students to improve their grades and attendance. That's an idea she explained on our program last year.
It is sort of equalizing the playing field or making up for the fact that a lot of our children don't have home environments and structures where they're incentivized and, you know, sort of given motivation to do well in school and to aspire to higher education and that sort of thing. And so I think the message that it sends to students is if you work hard and you do the right thing and if you achieve at high levels, then you'll be rewarded for that.
We asked our moms to offer their thoughts about this idea. In D.C., the program is called Capital Gains. We talked about it in a parenting segment at the beginning of this school year. Here's a little bit of what the moms had to say.
You know, when I was a kid, my dad did pay me and my brother for grades, but that is not why I was a good student, and I don't know if the pay thing helps or not.
I don't pay my children, you know, although I have to say I do equate academic success to financial gain. So you can get a good job, so you can make a lot of money, so you can have a nice house like we have right now.
This is the first time I decided to pay them because last year they wasn't doing very well. And this year I wanted them to have grades and be happy. So I don't really believe in paying them, but I felt like I wanted to see if there was going to be a difference in them wanting to do their work than just play around.
You can find a link to that full conversation on our website, the Tell Me More page at npr.org. Today, though, as the school year wraps up, we decided to ask two local students to sound off on the Pay for Grades plan. So we're pleased to welcome Noelle Edwards. She's a sixth grader at the Stuart Hobson Middle School in Washington, D.C., and Natnel Kassaw. He's a seventh grader at Paul Public Charter School in Washington, D.C. Also joining us is Lindsay Jeffries. She's the executive director of the Washington Chapter of the Higher Achievement Program, and we're pleased to welcome back our regular parenting contributor, Jolene Ivey. Welcome, moms, guests, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Michelle.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Good to meet you.
Well, thank you. Now, Ms. Jeffries, I'm going to start with you. Your program, Higher Achievement Scholars, focuses on improving the performance for kids in middle school, and that's the age and the grade group that is the focus of these experimental pay for grades programs around the country. Why middle school?
It's a really important time to intervene, actually. It's when young people are changing physically, socially, intellectually, all at the same time. And it's actually a point where academic declines happen, as well as peer pressure really sets in at all different socioeconomic levels. Actually, Johns Hopkins did a study that 40% of high school dropouts can be predicted as early as sixth grade. And the Department of Ed showed that by eighth grade, your college plans can be determined by your academic achievement by eighth grade. So it's really an important time to shower young people with academic opportunities and opportunities to explore like higher achievement does.
So middle school really is a big deal. It's not just sort of
exactly.
It's not just kind of treading water time.
No. And that's, you know, that was sort of the way that a lot of teachers had approached middle school in the past, that it was time you just needed to kind of keep them occupied and you could engage them more academically in high school. But now research is showing that you actually do need to engage them in middle school so they stay on a positive track towards college.
And I understand that Noelle and Natnel debated this whole question of the capital gains program, pay for grades, as part of an activity at Higher Achievement. How did the debate go? First of all, how did you get the idea for that topic as a debate topic?
Yeah, well, actually, we give our scholars the choice of what topic to choose. And this year they had options of about the environment, the war in Iraq, and capital gains. And they chose capital gains because it affects them so immediately. And from there, they researched the topic and wrote position papers and presented them and defended them and had a debate at their centers.
So they are well prepared for our conversation.
So.
Okay. So we have a pro and con view of the capital gains program. Noelle, why don't you start? Because I understand that you argued in favor of the program. Tell us why.
I am in favor of the capital gains program because it instills a lot of motivation that middle school children need. And I feel that capital gains is a positive way to look at education. And although it does have cons, the pros outweigh the cons for a lot of reasons. Like they give you money to further your education and to become a better person throughout your life.
So you think it was a net plus?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you took a different position about pay for grades. Tell us what you argued.
I believe
she was pretty tough, so I hope you got your A game.
Well, I believe that with capital gains, paying students money for an incentive is a good idea, but also that money that is being paid is coming from the half is coming from DC taxes that our parents pay, and that money can actually be used for new textbooks or new classes like art or science or music, and that could actually further the students' educations more instead of having to use the money for things that might not end up to be successful. And also, the money can be used for...
Once the kids get the money, they can do whatever they want with it? Is that it?
Yeah. Usually when the kids get money, they might waste it on things that might not last for a long time. So let's say a student, instead of maybe saving it to buy new textbooks or saving it to buy for later on in life, they might just waste it on games or candy, which doesn't really last that long.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with higher achievement scholars about the Capital Gains Program. That's an experimental program in Washington, D.C. that is paying middle school students in certain schools for getting good grades and achieving excellent attendance. And they recently debated the pros and cons of this program. Jolene, you are a state legislator in charge of sort of making policy. You're also the mom of five boys. What's your reaction to these very persuasive arguments on both sides?
Well, just meeting Nutnell and Noel just shows you that there's a lot of good going on in D.C. and with our young people. I think that they're both bright, polite kids, and maybe they don't need capital gains, I don't know, in order to do well. I think that the idea behind the program is a good one. Why not try something different? I mean, they say that insanity is doing the same thing all the time, expecting a different result. We obviously need to try some new things. Hear something. One thing Lindsay did mention was that by sixth grade, you can tell if kids are going to drop out. In my opinion, we need to start much younger to make sure our kids are successful. By second grade, they should be great readers. And I have a program that I'm helping with to get tutors for second graders and to help them with their reading. I think if we can get them by the time they're in second and third grade, we don't have to worry so much about programs like capital gains when they're in middle school.
Lindsay, where was the kind of consensus in your group among the students who took up the question?
There wasn't really a consensus. I think about half came in on the pro and half on con. Interestingly, though, the students who attended schools with capital gains like Noel were often in favor of it.
Really? And can I conclude from that Nutnell School did not participate in the capital gains program? So, Nutnell, tell the truth. Is part of it you're mad because your school wasn't participating?
Well, no, because I'm partly for it, but mainly I'm partly for con, because if the capital gains program isn't successful, then that money that we use will go to waste, and that'll bring our economy into a further recession, and that's really not a good standard that we really want our educational system and also our economy to be in. So that's why I'm...
Let me ask Noel to address your point. Nell's point is that it's fine to give kids this money, but if they use it for something that's not really productive, wouldn't that money be better spent on something that you know is going to be for an educational purpose? What do you say to that? Tough argument, huh?
I think that in a way he's right, but this also gives children and my peers a source of like independence and a way to learn how to deal with money. And I would feel bad for the children who wasted it, but most of the students at my school know how to handle money. Like when you are part of the capital gains program, every month someone comes in and they talk to you about how to handle your money. And I think that's one of the things that people like Nottingham don't realize, because they don't have the capital gains program at their school. So we know how to handle our money.
Now what about Noel's point that you got to start someplace and that nobody's born knowing how to handle money, that this is a way to help kids learn. It's part of the educational experience. What about that?
Well, I agree with Noel, but also I used to go to a school the name is Brightwood Elementary. And they now have capital gains there, so I do have a sort of understanding. And I do agree that every month that a person does come to inform the students towards how to use their money wisely. But some students don't even take the time to actually listen. They usually waste it. So also that's a waste of time, because if some of the students don't have the time to actually take a chance of learning new things that can benefit them further in life, because sooner or later as an adult you're going to have to make the decisions towards what the money that you get from a job, how you're going to spend it. So I agree that this is a good lesson, life lesson, but also some students don't take it to the next level. So
now, well, what about Nell's point that there's only so much money in the budget and you've got to cover a lot of things? You know, you want to cover music and art and all kinds of instructional things and so forth, and that if you direct the money towards specific things, then you know it's going to be used for an educational purpose, which if you give it to some kids, they might waste it. What do you say to that?
I think that in some cases, children might waste it because we don't get money as much as adults do, and we want to live and be free. But I also feel that it is being set towards a specific thing, and that's to raise the grades and the performance and the attendance, and that's what's being done, and I can tell by the results and by the money that's being earned by my fellow peers.
Tough. Jolene, I'm going back and forth here. They're just...
Noelle hit the nail on the head. The point isn't what do they do with the money. The point is, does it increase achievement? And I would like to know from Lindsay, do you all have any proof that it works?
Well, not for the capital gains program. We do. We've been measuring higher achievements progress, and actually 100% of our scholars improved on their test scores by an average of 20% last year.
Well, that does raise a question, though. Are you concerned at all that programs like this, which could be perceived as quick and dirty, I'm guessing it's cheaper to direct money to kids than it is to fund a program with staff and these kinds of educational supports and instructor, even with volunteers. And do you ever worry that the programs like Capital Gains, were directing money to kids for attending school and improving their grades, will then move attention away and resources away from programs like yours?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's not a zero-sum game. I think that there are additional sources of funds that support programs like Higher Achievement, but it's actually a point that Nell brought up, that $2.7 million that DC and Harvard are spending on capital gains could go to support Higher Achievement, and that's even more than our annual budget. And so are there ways to support wraparound services that could help student achievement in a way that you have more direct control over how those funds impact students?
Well, what about Jolene's point that if you keep doing the same things, you're going to get the same results? And people are constantly lamenting the status of DC schools among other school systems, particularly large urban systems. And yet people don't want to try things.
Right. I mean, I think it's almost unethical not to experiment a little bit. However, this particular proposal, the experiment that's going on right now with capital gains, was done in New York, and the initial outcomes have not been particularly strong. A similar program in Texas that encourages high school students to improve on their advanced placement exams with a monetary incentive, and actually 30% of those high school students did improve their advanced placement scores as a result. And so it's hard to know how you experiment and how you direct public dollars.
Okay, final thought from each of our debaters, and we thank you for being so well prepared and ready to do battle. I gave Noelle the first word, so I'm going to give Nell the last word. So Noelle, I'm going to have you go first. Do you think that the capital gains program should continue based on your experience and research?
I do feel that the capital gains program should continue. I think it's a real good program, personally, because my teachers have told me that we have already made, like, too much money. And I think, in a way, that's a good thing because we're becoming more prepared for higher education and more developed learning.
So you're saying that the students in your school did so well that they met or exceeded their targets?
Yes.
They did everything they were supposed to do and then some. Okay, Noelle, what are you going to do with your money?
Well, I'm going to save some of my money for college, and I put some on the set for anything else I feel I could use it for positively.
In other words, none of your business, Michelle. In other words, that's private. I got you. I understand. Every girl needs her milk money. Now, final thought from you, or what we call our vex money, you know, in case we get vexed and we need to have a couple dollars to take care of situations, right? Now, what about you? A final thought from you. Do you think that this experiment should continue or not?
Well, I agree with Noelle, and I do believe that capital gains was a good pilot program and should continue. But I also believe that that with the money, we should actually try to see if it works. And before going full way, if you don't see much progress, we should use the money to fund for programs like Higher Achievement, because by funding programs like Higher Achievement and creating new programs, then that allows the students to actually get more contact with people. And in a place like Higher Achievement, you learn and also you have fun and you have mentors there to actually help you. And they're actually people that you could talk to and help or need, and they're always there for you. So, and having someone right there to help you in the problems that you have is more useful than what money can do to you. And also having friends there that need the same improvement or having trouble in the same subject can actually inspire you and your friends to do better. So that's a more reward. The best reward is education gained by striving and perseverance instead of education gained by money.
Okay, to be continued. Our contributors to today's conversation were Noelle Edwards. She's a sixth grader at Stuart Hobson Middle School in Washington, D.C., and Nutnell Kassah. He's a seventh grader at Paul Public Charter School, also in Washington, D.C. Jolene Ivey joined us. She's our regular Tell Me More Parenting contributor. And also with us was Lindsay Jeffries. She's the executive director of the Washington chapter of the Higher Achievement Program, which put on a debate about this interesting program. They were all here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Thank you, Michelle.
Remember, at Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. Now we want to hear from you. If you pay your children for good grades, have you seen an improvement in their academic performance or not? And either way, what's your take on incentive programs like the Capital Gains Program? Are they valuable? Is there a program like this in your community? What have been the results? And are there other experimental programs to promote achievement that you'd like to see in your school or your child's school? To tell us more, please call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Once again, that's 202-842-3522. Or you can share your story on our blog. Just go to npr.org, click on the Tell Me More tab, and blog it out. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.